The Point Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. It's a popular series of fantasy novels that now come alive on the Sci-Fi Network with a new show called Bitten. We talk to the author and the stars of the show, plus more on black sails, and it looks like Wonder Woman hits another setback. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point. The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
Right off the bat, you need to know the new sci-fi series Bitten is not your run-of-the-mill werewolf show. It's based on the works of author Kelly Armstrong, and it stars Laura Vandervoort, who told me right off the bat how she got involved.
I actually received an offer for the role, which was amazing, first of all, and ended up speaking to JB on the phone just to get an idea of the premise of the show and how it would look and how the wolves would be done. So we spoke for about an hour, and I heard how passionate he was about the project. He's our executive producer. And it just sounded like something I'd really been looking to do, such a layered, dynamic character who is both flawed and strong. And so I read the books. I read Men of the Other World and Bitten and did a bit of research. And as soon as I realized the amazing quality of what was there, I jumped on and we did some auditions and chemistry reads with the guys. And we just sort of hit the ground running, no pun intended. And it was the most challenging 6 months I've had, thanks to Kelly and the writers. Every day was a challenge for me, and there were days where I didn't know if I'd be able to handle the emotional side of it or the physical side of it, or just being in every scene, and I did, and I'm so grateful for the experience.
I asked Kelly where the character of Elena originally came from.
I mean, it is my first published novel, so it was way back, and I was looking to think, I wanted to create a character who would be a werewolf and be uncomfortable with that role, but ultimately come to embrace it. So often we, at that time, saw werewolves. That was a curse, something that you wanted to end, to get out of. And I wanted a character who, while she would feel that she should think that way, really deep down doesn't. And Bitten was about coming to understand that what you think you should be is not always what you're meant to be.
And Laura agrees.
And I agree with what Kelly said. There's a lot of parallels with Elena in the show and women in general. You know, Elena flees to Toronto to try to hide who she truly is and try to have this almost perfect image of what she feels people need from her, this perfect boyfriend. She's a freelance photographer. But she's just pushing down the animal inside of her and is, you know, such an amazing character that a lot of the skeletons in her closet are explored this season. You learn a lot about her history and some of her demons come back. So every episode was shocking to us when we'd read it. We had no idea, you know, where they were going to go with it. So I think even if you're not a sci-fi fan, you're going to find something that you truly love about the show, because it's not just about the sci-fi. It's not just about the werewolves. It's about the characters and their relationships, and it's just very layered.
So if you're going to compare this to other werewolf shows, well, there's some things you need to know.
Our werewolves are actually more down to earth. They're life-sized to any other wolf. They're not life, you know, they're not, it's not a fantasy show. It's as realistic as we can be with the situation at hand. And the wolves have the actor's eyes and the same coloring, their fur, the same coloring as the hair. So it's, you know, obviously we are dealing with the mythical idea of werewolves, but we're trying to make it as true to life as we can. And that's making sure the werewolves aren't any different to a typical wolf.
One thing that makes a difference, an interesting combination of CGI effects.
Yeah, that's been a wonderful part of the show as well. We don't have to do the furry prosthetics and in the makeup chair for 4 or 5 hours in the morning. We have a wonderful visual effects team that some have worked on Life of Pi, on the Tiger's Fur. So they're just amazing artists who know exactly how to make the fur move in certain lights. And we have actually a German Shepherd that our producer has that will run throughout the scene and we'll get the motion of the wolf and then capture that onto camera with our visual effects wolves. So we haven't had to worry about too much of that. It's more the transition from human to wolf that the actors portray, the the bones shifting and snapping and contorting. And then after that, it's all visual effects with the actor's eyes.
As an established author, I had to ask Kelly, was it hard letting other creative types have access to her work?
I really didn't have any influence, and that is what I felt was the correct stance to be taking. I mean, a TV show is an adaptation. It is another version for a different medium, and to take a book and translate it directly to screen would make a very boring book. Because I will warn you, in Bitten, I spend way too much time in Elena's head. And to have put that on the screen would have been boring. Somebody else has to take it with fresh eyes and reconstruct it for a different medium. And I personally feel that by getting involved, I'm, of course, so attached to my characters and so attached to my world that I would be objecting to things that I shouldn't be objecting to. And I was so thrilled with the early scripts I read. I was so thrilled with the writing and how they got the characters. And yes, there are changes, but there should be. And I was quite happy to leave it in everyone's capable hands and just step back.
It's kind of interesting, but this is the 4th January that Sci-Fi has introduced a new series led by strong female characters, from Being Human to Lost Girl to Continuum.
Yeah, you're right. And Sci-Fi has been fantastic with having women being strong and dominant on their show. So, I love Sci-Fi for that. I'm aware of Being Human. My friend Sam Witwer, who was Doomsday on Smallville with me, is on that. And so I think that's a fantastic show. And then Continuum as well, my producer friend Jeff King. So I am keeping tabs on all these shows because not only am I a fan of being in them, but I'm a fan of watching them and watching these women kick some ass. And so I think that the lineup's great. I'm glad that we're a part of it, especially right behind Being Human.
New episodes of Bitten every Monday on Sci-Fi, and see more always at sci-fi.com.
The Point Radio.
Here it is, the latest in pop culture. Despite their success with Arrow and all the hope for the upcoming Flash series, the CW has decided not to move forward with their Wonder Woman prequel series called Amazon. The process began with the writer Alan Heinberg about a year ago, but then again, the network requested a couple of different rewrites, and pretty much things were stalled at the end of that. What it all comes down to is, at this point in time, there are no projects involving Wonder Woman, other than the upcoming promised appearance in the Superman-Batman movie. CBS has given a blanket renewal to all the shows in their daytime schedule, including Let's Make a Deal, Price is Right, and of course the soaps Young and the Restless and the Bold and Beautiful, as well as the Talk. Also renewed was Survivor, coming back for season number 28, and The Amazing Race, who will get another season, racking up a total of 24 for that show. The sci-fi series Helix, which started out with, well, shall we say, mediocre ratings for its premiere, got a big boost once they added in all the DVR ratings, and it was a big 64% of the audience is what the growth was for adults 18 to 49. It grew 57% among adults 25 to 54 and 53% in total viewers. That makes it one of the largest series premieres ever in sci-fi history. The new comic publisher Red Giant is moving into Free Comic Book Day in a big way with 4 giant-sized books they plan on offering to retailers to hand out free. It includes 0 issues of Giant Size Action, Giant Size Fantasy, Adventure and Thrills, and then the entire line of the Giant Size books will launch in stores in July. If you'd like to see more information about what they're going to be offering, you can check them all out, and previews are waiting for you right now at redgiantentertainment.com. DC's Flash series gets a new creative team, beginning with writers Robert Vendetti and Van Jensen, who you might remember from having worked together on Green Lantern Corps. Art in the new run will be by Brett Booth. It all begins in Flash number 30, and along with that, Flash Annual number 3 will bring back Wally West into the new DC New 52 universe. Both those issues will be in comic stores in April.
The Point! The Point!
Some of the characters in the new Starz pirate adventure series, Black Sails, might seem a little familiar, at least by name. For example, actor Luke Arnold plays a character you might recognize.
So I am playing a character called John Silver, which is Long John Silver from Treasure Island about 20 years before. And in the first episode, he's actually not a pirate. He's a sailor on a merchant ship that gets taken over by Flint's crew. And we kind of get introduced to the pirate world through his eyes.
Playing such a familiar name, was there a lot of pressures for the role?
It seems to be my thing at the moment, taking on these roles where there might be people out there ready to throw stones if they don't like your interpretation. But But it's it was kind of nice, first of all, having, you know, knowing a character, such a famous character in literature, and, you know, seen him in films and TV through the years. So it's, I guess it was a bit of pressure, but it was more excitement of, like, being able to do the origin story of this guy on screen for the first time.
With historical records, what they are, Luke told me that the story has a lot of different places to go.
Yeah, well, I think definitely in storytelling, it's perfect. Like, John and Robert are just bringing through such great scripts, and they have such a grand plan for this, that it's nice that they have complete freedom, you know, with, like, with timing and what they can show and how they're going to play their story out. So I think we're really lucky to have the freedom of storytelling.
One of the original characters on Black Sails is Max, played by Jessica Parker Kennedy, who told me that the ladies on the show are no pushover.
John Steinberg and Robert Levine wrote three really, really intimidating female characters, and they are just as strong, if not stronger, than the men on the show. So I think when people watch, they won't really feel like it's a male-heavy cast, because we spend a lot of time on screen, you know, and we make a lot of the decisions, and we're very, very involved in the story. So I really didn't have to do anything special particularly, because the writing is just so good for the female characters.
Ah, but again, there's those costumes.
Completely. I mean, I remember the first time I put on a corset, because, you know, we're not wearing pretend corsets. We're wearing, you know, it's just about as authentic as it got, corsets. Like, you know, two people lace me up every day, really, really tight. Probably not as tight as would have been, you know, otherwise I learned that that's why so many women used to sort of faint back then, because they can't breathe, you know, when anything exciting or frightening happened. But that helped me. I was just saying, yeah, the first time I put the corset on, I was like, no way, I can't act in this. I can't be in this for 14 hours a day. Surprising how quickly you get used to it and it doesn't become as claustrophobic. But it did. That helped me ground right into the character, because the wardrobe, I mean, it's exquisite. It's really cool. And I'm so lucky. You know, Silver's wearing the same thing, you know, for 6 months in a row, you know, whereas I have 10 different beautiful, fun outfits that I get to wear. It's just really been a dream for a girl on a show, I guess, doing a period piece, wearing all these amazing outfits.
Another important part of the cast, Zach McGowan, who you might remember from Shameless, playing the part of Charles Vane. Zach's character is yet another with some strong historical roots.
Charles Vane's a very uncompromising person. Kind of likes doing what he likes to do, or doesn't like being told anything. You know, I kind of liken him. You know, it's like I have a young daughter, and like it's like anything you tell her that she can't do, then she will automatically do and test the limit of. And that is Charles Vane. I mean, he is just like, you can't do this. Oh yeah, well I'm going to do it. I'm going to see how long I can do it for, and how far I can push this line you've set. And that's really in a nutshell, you know, who he is. He's definitely somebody who steps up to a challenge and does not walk the other way. He is somebody who would rather be feared than loved. You know, he's very different than Jody, I'll tell you that much.
As you may have heard, Michael Bay is involved with the project as a producer, and I asked actor Mark Ryan just what that meant.
Michael, I'm on my fourth Transformers film with Michael. And one of the things I think that Michael's done, which is very clever, and John said it, he's brought the best of the stuff he could bring to the show in terms of visual effects and little tweaks and little things regarding casting. But John is very, very knowledgeable. He did his research. And very early on, I wanted to have a tattoo on the back of my head, which you'll see when you see the show.
Catch Black Sails on Stars and always get more online at stars.com.
The Point. Your pop culture channel.
Comes down to Image versus Marvel when you look at the top 10 best-selling graphic novels in comic stores during December. The top 10 starts with Walking Dead, Volume 1, Days Gone By, still in there at number 10 from Image. At number 9, the second Saga trade paperback, also from Image. At number 8, the Deadpool trade paperback, Volume 3, Good, Bad, and Ugly from Marvel. At number 7, first Saga trade paperback from Image. At number 6, third Nightwing trade paperback, Death of the Family. That's from DC. At number 5, Star-Lord, World's on the Brink from Marvel. At number 4, also from Marvel, Deadpool Kills Deadpool, the trade paperback. At number 3, from IDW, Richard Stark's Parker, Slayground, the hardcover. At number 2, Adventure Time, the original graphic novel, Volume 2, Pixel, Princess from Boom Studios. And the number one best-selling graphic novel for the month goes to DC for Fables, Volume 19, to the trade paperback of Snow White.
The Point.
That does it for the podcast. We're back in a few days to give you a preview of the return of The Following on Fox. But in the meantime, keep up with pop culture 24-7 at GetThePointRadio.com. On your desktop or your laptop, listen free there, or listen on any mobile device, Apple or Android, with the app called iNet Radio, and that's free too. Follow us on social media under The Point Radio on Twitter and Facebook. And keep up with the podcast too. We do it twice every week on websites like ComicMix.com and MichaelDavisWorld.com. And of course, subscribe in the iTunes podcast directory. See you in a few days.
Get the-